Have you ever felt like your life was crumbling around you, only to realize the real collapse was happening within? This was Dr. John Deloney's awakening moment, crawling through mud in his underwear at midnight, obsessively searching for non-existent water damage while his inner world disintegrated. Despite outward success as a university administrator managing campus crises, he was inwardly falling apart, overworked, disconnected, and slowly destroying himself. This midnight mud crawl became his turning point, the moment he began to question the stories driving his life into the ground. We all carry stories that shape our reality, narratives that aren't just abstract thoughts, but physical entities affecting our bodies, relationships, and even future generations. Some were born into, family traditions and cultural expectations. Others are told to us about our worth. Some reflect actual events, and many we create ourselves. These stories operate in the background like the air we breathe, dragging past pain into our present and trapping us in toxic patterns. As Viktor Frankl wrote, when we are no longer able to change a situation, we are challenged to change ourselves. Healing begins by turning to face our stories and owning them. In just a century, our world has become faster and more interconnected, yet paradoxically, slower, sicker, and lonelier. Despite on-demand access to everything, we're neither happier nor healthier, disconnected from others and ourselves. Three powerful narratives have shaped modern existence. First, the belief that technology can fix everything. While innovations have improved countless lives, technology has ultimately enslaved us. We work more, not less, perpetually connected, yet deeply disconnected. Our ancient brains overwhelmed by constant stimulation. Second, we've normalized unprecedented debt levels. What was once considered slavery rebranded as opportunity. The average American family carries multiple credit cards and nearly $15,000 in credit card debt. This isn't just financially catastrophic, but psychologically crippling, surrendering control of your life story to others. Third, we've embraced the toxic idea that we can save ourselves without help. What began as personal responsibility has twisted into the belief that we don't need others, birthing humanity's most destructive force, loneliness. Despite hundreds of contacts in our phones, we face unprecedented isolation, triggering biological responses similar to physical assault and more damaging than smoking. Abandoning our tribes has forced us to confront our physical limitations. We foolishly tried to outsmart biology, treating sleep as an annoyance while surrounding ourselves with constant stimulation. Americans now average just 6.5 hours of sleep nightly, with 40% getting less than 6 hours. We compensate with caffeine while consuming record amounts of alcohol and sedatives that disrupt restorative sleep. This affects every bodily system, cardiovascular, reproductive, metabolic, immune, plus emotional regulation and mental health. Simply put, less sleep means earlier death. Our relationship with food has similarly deteriorated. Food manufacturers employ perfumists, psychologists, and chemists to bypass our natural hunger signals. They engineer foods with combinations of crunch, sweetness, and salt that don't exist in nature. Consequently, nearly half of Americans are obese, three-quarters are pre-diabetic or have metabolic syndrome, and millions cannot fully participate in life's activities. We've also removed death from our daily experience. Homes once had parlors where deceased loved ones remained for days while family gathered to grieve. Now we outsource everything death-related and receive just 3 days of bereavement leave before returning to work. The fiction that avoiding death makes us happier contradicts what we all know. Death is universal and inevitable. Our stories are like bricks we carry in metaphorical backpacks. Some people start with few, raised in supportive communities with healthy families. Others begin with heavy loads, poverty, abuse, learning challenges, or absent parents. Regardless of our starting point, we accumulate more bricks throughout life, from small pebbles to massive concrete blocks representing profound trauma. Trauma extends beyond catastrophic events to include neglect, invisibility, and facing hardships alone. Any experience triggering our body's primitive response system. Trauma is cumulative. It's about the total weight in our backpack over time. As trauma expert Bessel van der Kolk explains, trauma isn't merely a past story explaining our fears. It's re-experienced through bodily reactions like pounding hearts, nausea, and physical responses signaling collapse or rage. These stories live in our bodies, genes, and neurochemistry. Until addressed, our bodies continue responding as though under present attack. Our bodies react to threats in four basic ways: flight, fight, freeze, and fawning. These responses activate before conscious awareness, feeling a racing heart before turning into a dark alley, or disconnecting from your spouse without understanding why. This system worked well for occasional wild animal encounters, but wasn't designed for persistent threats, the metaphorical lions that live in our homes or ride the school bus with us daily. Healing begins with owning your stories, acknowledging both inherited narratives and those you've created. This isn't about blame, but taking responsibility for what happens next. Everyone has experienced trauma, and while you can't change past experiences, you can examine these stories with compassion, question their relevance, and decide which to carry forward. Next comes acknowledging reality through grief, that gap between expectations and what actually occurred. When we refuse to acknowledge emptiness, our brain fills that void with destructive alternatives like resentment or addiction. Grieving requires witnesses who validate our experience, and writing about grief creates emotional distance to help process complex feelings. Getting connected forms the third step, as humans cannot thrive in isolation. Our identities and purpose form through relationships. True friends are those you can share both achievements and failures with, people who listen without judgment and show up when needed. The fourth step involves changing your thoughts, recognizing that burdensome stories exist primarily as manageable thoughts. This requires awareness through writing down thoughts, listening to your body's responses, and examining whether thoughts are actually true or merely feel true. Forgiveness becomes essential to free yourself from traumatic memories. Finally, changing your actions means disrupting familiar patterns even when uncomfortable. Focus on identity rather than goals. Instead of, "I want to lose weight," decide, "I am a person who honors my body." Establish your new identity, then build small, consistent wins with community support and accountability. What do you do with all these scattered bricks once you've emptied your backpack? You redeem them. Your pain becomes part of the great old brick road, formed from the challenges and triumphs of millions before you. This is legacy, the road your children, neighbors, community, and future generations will walk on. Their lives improve because you did the work and said no more. This road is peace, kindness, patience, self-control, responsibility, and ultimately freedom. The wellness journey isn't a destination, but an ongoing direction impacting generations. It means finding peace amidst chaos, choosing patience when provoked, forgiving those who hurt you, and balancing strength with tenderness. Despite life's inevitable challenges, hope remains as we continue this journey together. Your story doesn't end with healing. It transforms into a path guiding others toward freedom. The question isn't whether you'll face difficulty, but whether your struggles will become stepping stones for those who follow. Will you build a road worth walking on?